Good Lord, for our soul. In your name, Lord, hallelujah. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name. We're so blessed tonight to have every one of you that is here. Amen. We're honored tonight also to have, amen, Pastor Rainer from Jasper. Amen. And you know, Brother Rainer, before I met you several years ago, amen, there were several men, amen, that always honored you, that I rubbed shoulders with, and they would talk about you, your family. And I love it when somebody talks about somebody in a good manner, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. And this young man, his brother, and they talked about you, your dedication. And I was thankful that several years ago I got to meet you in person. Amen. And several times we've got to be around each other. But tonight I am privileged, amen, to have him with us in this service. I want him to come and follow what the Lord has given him for this service tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's all right. Just worship the Lord. It's okay to do that. Just give it to the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I want to say I'm honored to be here tonight. And brother, it's many, many years ago, not even before you even heard good things about me. I remember crossing you at Heritage conferences way back there. And remember y'all being a part of that for many years. And but I was a young, I wasn't snotty-nosed at that time. My nose had dried up a little bit. But I was, you know, young man. Still am. And but I honor you for many years here in Nacogdoches. Hey, you ought to be thankful for that. That means a lot. A man that'll go to a place and stay there and dig out of work and let God, hey, through the ups and downs, stays faithful. I honor that. Whether you do or not, I honor it, and I believe God does too. God honors that. And I'm thankful for him. And when he asked me, I'd called him about something or text him. And he said, when could you come? And I was hesitant to say, to be honest. Not that I was wanting to lie, but my voice has been miserable this week. And so, but I had to be honest, I'm available Thursday. And then I gave him kind of a list of Thursdays that I could come. He said, is tomorrow too soon? And the only reason it had been too soon was because of my voice. But God's greater than that. God's greater than that. And I want the Lord to have his way tonight. I'm honored to be here. I thank God for the worship. I understand it's Thursday night. We got a lot going on. And I don't know how Thursday nights go around here. But that don't matter. We want God to have his way. We want it to be the way he wants it to be tonight. And so we're thankful that you're here. And I was hoping. Now this may be a name you know, brother, and some others. A fellow by the name of Jacob Dillon. I was hoping he was going to be here tonight. I have tried, brother, and he tells me he's going to come see you here. I have worked. His sister's here. You're his sister. Oh, praise God. I work with him, and I'm trying. I work with him. I know God has touched him. We've had such talks. I mean real talks where I work a secular job, but man, when it's time for the Lord to move, we'll let the Lord move right there, no matter who's listening. And I could tell you stories, but I'm believing God to fill Jacob with the Holy Ghost. Put him in the church. Amen. And restore whatever. God's able to do it. Praise the Lord. But that blesses me to know you're here tonight. Amen. Let's get into the word of the Lord. I was torn when he asked me to come. I don't want to just, that went well when I preached. Let's do that. I don't like to do that. Unless I have no other choice, but I want to be prayerful. Say, God, what do you want tonight? And I was going to go a different direction. And then this afternoon, I worked last night, and so I took a little nap today. And right as I was laying down to take a nap, things changed. And I just want to be careful to follow the Lord. So I hope you come to open your heart to the Lord tonight, and you can get past my raspy voice, and let's just let God talk to us tonight. Can we do that? I know you don't know me. I don't know none of you, but I hope we all know the Lord. There's only one God, so if we know him, we know the same one. Now, if we was confused, we'd have to get on the same page. Now, which one do you serve? I serve the only true God, and I know his name is Jesus. Praise God. So let's just get on the same page. Matthew chapter 15. And thank you again, Brother Crosswhite, for allowing me to come. And I'm honored. I wish my family was here, and I just wish they were. I love my family. I got a bunch of kids that like to run around, but they was getting out of school and piano lessons and things going on. They couldn't make it, but I love them. Wish they could be here. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 22. We can start in verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And what I really want to preach from is she said, verse 27, Truth, Lord. Can I take my jacket off?
Yes.
I know you want me to read the rest of the story, and we may get to that. Thank you, brother. But when he, I mean, you talk about it, if you could put these words into a physical motion, he backhanded her. I mean, he just backhanded her. And rather than getting upset, rather than getting her feathers ruffled, her answer was, You're exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm a dog. I'm not even someone you should be even talking to. You're exactly right. I'm willing to fess up to that. I'm willing to admit it. I don't care if everybody's watching. Hey, they saw her. They saw her begging. I'll fess up to it. Because my need and the answer I need is bigger than the image I'm going to try to portray. And that's what I want to talk to us tonight. An image or an answer? An image or an answer. You can be seated tonight. I understand you. He had sent me and said, and I preach whatever I feel, regardless of the who I'm talking to. I've learned that at a young age, when I was very young and would preach at nursing home services, I learned to just preach. Didn't matter if they understood or not, just let the Lord have his way. But I understand we got some young people tonight and the adults, and there's other classes going on. But this doesn't know an age. Emotions are real. Emotions are real. We all have them. I've heard some people say, well, women have more emotions than men, and that's not true. They're just more willing to show those emotions more often. We still have the same emotion. We can still be sad. We can still be upset. All of the emotions that we all have, the same emotions, just ladies, sometimes it shows up a lot more. And our emotions can affect how we operate and how we do things. And I remember as a kid, I was very ornery, I was very stubborn, hard-headed, and I got a lot of whippings. And what I hated more than anything, I would rather you take me out behind the woodshed, and I mean give me a thrashing that I remembered for weeks. Because when it was done, because I got a lot of them at church, I was picking up some kids for church, and I was introducing myself to some of them out there in the country. And I said, it seems like some of you country folks, y'all's kids act a little better than these ones in the inner city. And he said, this is a worldly man. He said, there's more woods out here. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's more switches. I said, that's exactly right. You got a point there. I'm glad he believes that and uses them. But there were many times I'd act up in church and my mom would take me outside. We'd pick a witch. I thought she was a witch, but she was just being a good mama. She'd get that switch and she'd tear my hide up. And man, I'm all out. Because, you know, if you didn't scream, she'd keep going till you did scream. So you learn to scream real quick. But when it was time to walk back into church, like I'm showing everybody, that didn't hurt. Understand? Because as the child, you didn't like the whipping, but you sure didn't like everybody laughing at you for crying. Hello? And because emotions are real. I mean, they're heavy. And when you've been embarrassed and you got embarrassment and you're carrying, that's a real heavy thing. Nobody likes to be embarrassed. In fact, a lot of people won't respect. And I run into that sometimes. They want you to respect them, and yet they've never done one thing ever, ever to do anything to earn anybody's respect. But bless God, don't disrespect me, because it's an emotion. It's something that we all want. We all want respect. None of us want to be embarrassed. None of us want to be, and I don't know any names here tonight, but no, you don't want nobody to call you out and call you on the carpet in front of everybody. Man, take me aside and tell me privately. Don't do that in front of everybody and embarrass me. Am I talking to anybody? Does anybody here love to be embarrassed? Do you wake up every day saying, "But I hope today I do something that's just so embarrassing"? Because nobody likes that. It's shame. It's something that it's hard to. If you do something embarrassing, don't matter who you are, everybody will remember it for a while. You come in here and your clothing ain't just right, or you got something attached to your shoe, as you walk, those stories you hear about. Everybody's going to remember that. And some, I've seen things happen that are so humiliating, they just want to run away and don't want nobody to see them. Because the humiliation, the shame, the embarrassment, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be looked down and say, these young men, they got a weakness and I know it. Hey, everybody here, you have a weakness, but we don't want everybody to know it. But we have it, my friend. And this shame, nobody wants it. But here in our story tonight, we find a young lady who, she's going to the man that she's seen the miracles done. She's heard all the stories. She's heard how he loved, man. He does, as the Bible says, he went about doing good. And even though she's a Gentile lady, she knows from the story she hears that, hey, if anybody can help my daughter, he can do it. I wish some of us would get a hold of that. Amen. And I don't want to be long tonight, but he told me to take my liberty. But I won't be long. But I've dealt with things. People will say things. I'm so tired of trying. And that's really not the point, brother. That's not what they're tired of. Nobody's tired of trying. They're tired of the failure that's come with the trying. They're tired of losing, and it's not the trying part. It's been the outcome that they're tired of. Well, if you get tired of losing long enough, instead of wearing the crutch of "I'm tired of trying," get tired of losing, you might try harder to win. You just need to look at it different. Don't give up. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, "Quit trying." No, quit losing. Start winning. Hey, you start winning, you'll go back and try again. Praise God. If the outcome is good, you'll go do it again. It has nothing to do with the trying. It's the outcome of it. And so here she is. If anybody can do it, he can. And God can do it tonight. There's no hopeless situation. God can do anything. And so here she comes. He's got his disciples, the entourage, as you want to call it. They're around him. They're going with him. And here she makes her way. She's crying out about her daughter, and he ignores her. I have made it a point, and I pardon the I'm not an evangelist, so I'm not trying to get invited back, but I would be honored if I did. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it that way. I love just doing what God wants me to do, so I don't know how you do things here, but we have a lot of children that come, and they come from a lot of backgrounds, and I make it a point, almost to the degree of sometimes it might seem rude to the adults I'm talking to, if one of the children come up to me, I stop. I take time. I have made it a point, no matter, I don't care how out of the way it puts me, if I tell them I'm going to do something, I make sure I do it. Hey, I had a kid, he wanted his shoes tied. I said, "I'm going to get to it in just a minute." And I said, "Give me just a second, I'm going to come tie that shoe." I got up and started church. Church was going over worshiping, and I saw his shoes untied. And I came off the platform, and I said, "Buddy, I'm so sorry, I forgot. Let me tie your shoes." And in front of, and our church isn't huge, but Sunday mornings we fill it up. And I'm down there tying his shoes, and everybody's probably wondering what's going on. Well, I told him I was going to do it. Because nothing hurts more than someone because they look up to us. Hey, these kids and these ones, they're looking up to you whether you believe it or not. And something hurts when you look up to someone and you go to them, Brother Crosswhite, and you just ignore me. How would you feel? And we shouldn't idolize any kind of sport heroes and none of that garbage. None of that. But I'm going to use it for the example. The young kid that's looking for the autograph. I would never do that, but you understand. And they walk right past them. Don't sign their whatever. Oh, they go away. Almost probably hate that guy now. It hurts so bad to be ignored. And here's where we find her. She's got a possessed daughter at home. No doubt. Can you imagine what her home life has been like? She made the trek to where Jesus is at because maybe I can find deliverance at home because she's got me. I can't sleep at night because of the daughter. You know, she's suffering as well because the daughter's suffering. You don't have a child that's sick that you don't suffer too. And so she's suffering as well as her child at home. And oh, Master, Christ, whatever she's saying, can you help my daughter? And he ignores her. So you can imagine here, he's just going on his way. She's screaming out, hollering. To the point, now there's this discussion amongst his disciples. Hey, you know, imagine the little kid here coming to get your attention. And the young men or whatever that you use here, they're around you. And they're saying, Brother Crosswhite, should we just send that little rascal away? You know what that would do to that fella? You know what it would do to you? If here you want it, and I'm using Brother Crosswhite because we honor him, but this is Jesus himself.
Right.
And they're discussing whether they should send her away. And he's privately talking to them. And he makes this statement, I wasn't even sent to them, in a sense. Put yourself in this lady's shoes. Some of you, you had already walked away, run away, got mad, been like the rich young ruler, goes away sad. You would have never stayed around. I can't believe what kind of man is this that would treat me this way. And he says this, and then finally she's still crying. And if all of this is not enough, he turns to her and say, it's not even meat to give to you, dog. You know, I'm just, you know how you would feel? Who is he to call me a dog? What do you mean doing? Who is that? And you know what she does? She said, you know what? You're exactly right. Have you ever had a man of God come walking down your road? Begin to deal. He may not call your name. We need more name calling, I'm afraid. I'm pretty close to it around my place. I won't do it here, brother, because I don't know no names. But you know what I'm saying. Hey, come down your road. And you think you just wake up in the morning, brother. Well, you know what, today, boy, I'm really going to cook their goose. I'm just going to make them mad and run them off. I know the devil will lie to you and try to make you think that. But he's trying to reach you. And the man of God tries to reach you. And sometimes it comes across like it's just a backhand. Amen. But he knows, he sees there is a need there. And you know there's a need there. You may want to deny it. You want to act like everything's good in your life. I'm looking at a lot of people. We all need things that God knows about that we don't want nobody to know about. Amen. And God begins to walk down your road. And maybe calls you out. And says, you dog, you. You know how many people would deny it? I remember once somebody, anyway, well, I preached and they called me up and asked me if I was talking to them. Say, well, whether I was or not, you heard it, or you wouldn't have called. And I just always tell them, yes, were you there? Then yes, I was talking to you. Obviously the answer is yes, you were there. And just like you're here, I'm talking to you. Not to nobody, I'm talking to you. And getting upset that the man of God's talking. And in the sense, says they were telling lies. And are you saying I'm lying? And I said, you know, whatever. Because if they're already told one lie, and I say, you know what, you're a liar. I already preached about lying. And God was talking to you. You should have came to the altar and said, God, forgive me for being a liar. So if I just say, you know what? You're a liar. Guess what you'll do? You'll say, I'm not. Because when God started convicting you of everything of lying, you didn't come and correct it then. You didn't admit to what you were then. So if I say, you know what? You've been lying. You know what you'll do? You'll say, no, I haven't. No, I ain't. What's another lie? And so here Jesus is dealing with, you're a dog. And she says, you know what? And I'm thinking for her. Just let me ad lib a little bit here. You know what? This hurts. I'm being embarrassed. Everybody's going to talk about this. He called her a dog. But guess what? Whether I get mad or whatever, I got a need at home that is bigger than what everybody's going to say about me. It's bigger than my emotions. It's bigger than my little chip I got on my shoulder. It's bigger than all the friends at school that are going to think about me. It's bigger than everybody at church is going to think this or not. I've got a need that I've got to have an answer from God. And it's bigger than what I want everybody to think about me. I have seen people literally almost shake. Some of them really do shake under the conviction of the Lord. But because of status or whatever it may be, they refuse to move, knowing they have a need that God can answer. But because they're by just breaking, they're admitting he's talking to me. Do you hear me tonight? There are secret struggles that people have, secret things that they deal with, things that they're fighting, things that they're wanting deliverance and victory over, but that yet they never face it. They may never talk to you, brother, about it because they don't want you to know about it. And probably God's already impressed some things on you. And so whether they come to you, but you know, by coming to you, it takes a lot. And I don't think you want everybody coming confessing. We're not Catholic around here. But you know what I'm saying? Because the fess up, brother pastor, brother Crosswhite, I'm fighting, I'm struggling. It takes a lot to do that. But it shows somebody that's got a need that they're willing to get an answer for more than what they think you think about them. I've got to have a breakthrough in this. I don't care what so-and-so thinks. I don't care if he looks at me. Hey, he's a man of God. He's not going to look at you any different. He wants you to get deliverance. He wants you to get victory, and God wants you to get the victory. But if you allow this image thing, I was telling our church, it's time to see more bobby pins on the floor. There ain't near enough bobby pins in the vacuum cleaner. So something needs to change. Either people don't wear bobby pins or they just glue them in there now. But no, the answer is nobody's shaking them out anymore. Hello? We got fellas coming to church with their shirt tail out because that's the style, not because they shouted it out. And you know what? We got and we got some new pews, new altar benches, and we got altar benches with no stains on them. Because nobody's weeping and crying and snotting their way to repentance. Even though they have felt God talk time and time again, and they wanted to break through. I have seen, we've been balanced, God's been good to us, but you know, you hit little things, man, you got to battle through it. And man, sometimes you're just preaching and you're preaching and preaching, and all of a sudden something breaks. And when it breaks, it's something that could have broke a long time ago. But we was battling through the other night, and all of a sudden a lady that hadn't broken a while just let out a scream that'd make the hair stand up on the bottom of your feet. And when it happened, boy, it broke something in me because I that's what I was hoping for. And it come out, and it was something that had been wanting to come out a long time. But you know, to let that happen, you got to break. You got to say, you know what? You want to call me a dog? You're right. I'm a dog, but I have an answer that you can answer. And if it takes just being a dog, so be it. I'll be a dog all the way back to the house if when I get there, my daughter's healed. Amen. I'll be a crybaby man if when I get home, the spirit's been broken in my home. Amen. I'll be whatever, young lady, if when I get home, I get a breakthrough. I'm not worried about what everybody thinks. I'm not worried about what they think at the schoolhouse or in my family or whatever it is. I've got a need that's bigger than what everybody's seeing. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. There's another story of the lady at the well, and Jesus meets her. He's talking to her. And she says, he says, you want to go get your husband? Right? Go get your husband. She's facing something. Go get your husband. And she says, I don't have one. He says, yeah, you're correct. You got more than one. Just being nice. Hey, some people say, who are you to tell me? What difference does it make to you how many husbands I had? I'm just being honest with us tonight. I know this is Thursday night, and I know if my voice was stronger, maybe that's why the Lord didn't want me to preach some other things, because I'd need my voice. But hey, God knows everything. And there would some say, well, what difference does it make to you how many husbands I have? And hey, she didn't do that.
You're right.
You got me. Well, that's it. That's me. Hello? That's right. Naaman almost didn't get his healing because what was asked to him, I'm above that. These dirty waters. And then we have a story where the image they were trying to portray cost them their life. Anybody remember Ananias and Sapphira? Everybody's giving their monies because they see everybody else doing it. Oh, we want to be like everybody else. We'll just act like we gave all our money. And it became their demise. So on one hand, we have someone owning up and saying, that's me, and having a miracle. And on the other, you have someone that's all they worried about is what they look like, and they have a curse on their life.
Yes.
Which one do you want? Do you want a curse because you're just trying to be something that you're really not? Or are you willing to just say, hey, if it's a dog, I'm a dog. But guess what? After I'm a dog, I'm going to have a miracle. Praise God. And the miracle's worse the ridicule. The miracle is worth all the ridicule they give us.
You're right, yes.
Let them laugh. Let them make fun of you. Let them say, well, you don't have to live that way. Oh, come on. Ridicule. Call us a holy roller. Call us legalistic. Call us whatever you want to call us.
That's me.
Legalistic. That's me.
Right.
I need a blessing from the Lord. I need a blessing from God. And I've seen too many that when God begins to move and God begins to talk, it's not that they don't respond. But what I have seen people do, and brother, you can correct, you can fix all this stuff when I'm done. You can fix it right now. I'll humble myself to you. But I have seen those that sometimes the farthest they go is what the average is what's going on. They have a desperate need that they need God to break. God's moving, and let's say there's 100 people here, and 75 are doing this. And that's how far they'll go. They'll go that far. They're not just sitting there. They're not doing nothing. They're just going with the flow. So, hey, I'm not standing out. Nobody can say, well, they're just sitting there. I'll just fit it in. There was a lot of people following Jesus. She had a need. She gets made fun of. She gets embarrassed. She gets called a dog. She says, I don't care. He didn't do that to nobody else. I've got his attention now at least. He called me a dog, but I got his attention. Hey, I got a baby at home that needs a miracle. Amen. And when she left, she had her miracle. So are you going to be happy with the just fitting in with the average? When was the last time you got your answer? When was the last time, hey, I thank God for good worship, thank God for good prayer, when everybody else is doing it? But when you said, you know what? You know, this just come to me. I've been around a little while. I'm not that old, but I've been around a little bit. I have seen young people that because they goofed off and there was other young people that knew they goofed off, they were hindered because they knew, you know what I've done. Right. Yeah. Got three young ladies here, and y'all was goofing off doing things you shouldn't have done. Now it's time to go to church. You don't like that way. They still going to goof off a little bit. Bear with me. I'm not saying you. Now, if I'm right on, you better hear it. But you go and you're ready to get right. They're not. And God begins to move. And in your mind, you know, well, they know I just last night. Blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, they're beside you and they're doing this. And so, but you know you have a need. And you know they know what you did. And they're going to say, oh, that hypocrite. She last night, she was. I'm talking real life here. You know, you can say, well, no, I'm talking real life. And let's just not deal with you. Let's talk to adults. It's like this. You know you were on the phone with somebody talking about pastor. Hello? And now it's time to go to church and pastor's preaching about apostolic authority. And you don't like being that one that talks about the pastor. And there's something in you will say, that's right, pastor, because you want to break through of that spirit. But you know, they know what you said on the phone. Hey, who cares? It's time to get right. It's time to get victory and deliverance over that. I don't care who knows what you've been doing. Are you going to be worried about what they're going to say? Or do you need an answer from God? Praise God. Peer pressure is a real thing. At the same time, it's nothing. It's a big thing, and at the same time, it's nothing. Nobody's tying you up. Nobody's putting a gun to your head. It's all right here. It's just pressure that you put in your mind. Praise God, but God can break all that. God can give you victory. Amen. Over whatever it is. Amen. God can bring, hey, there's pressures. I don't care where you find yourself. As pastors, and I ain't been pastor that long, but there can be pressures on us to not want to let know that, hey, man, we're battling some things in our church. They say, well, brother, how's things going? Good. When, man, I'm fighting hell, brother. Because, hey, but you know what? I might just say, you know what, brother? Help me pray. I'm fighting the devil. Man, I'm getting discouraged because sometimes that happens. And guess what? By me admitting that, and Brother Crosswell says, well, brother, I'm going to bind together with you and pray. I can get strength and victory. But somewhere I've got to face up and not say, well, I got all the answers. I'm the pastor with all the answers. No, I'm just a weak old tyranner. Amen. And I have weaknesses and I have emotions that sometimes the devil gets the best of. And you know here tonight, you know he's done it to you. He's kept you from witnessing. When that person might have been the one you could have pulled from the clutches of hell. But what are they going to think in the grocery store line? These pressures. But I'm here to tell you the devil's a liar. And God is wanting to give you victory and giving you He wants to give you deliverance, all of that. Amen. The man that had the withered hand. And I know you've heard all these things preached about this. All of these are common stories. It doesn't specify which hand was withered. Right? Everybody heard this preached about, I'm sure. And the Lord says, stretch forth thine hand. Now, if I got some old, you know, let's say it's that long. You know, this hand's this long. You know, some people that way. That's the hand. It's that big. You know, that might be all I can stretch it. But that is the one that needs it. And if you said stretch forth that hand, there would be a lot of pressure to stretch that one out. And you've all heard it preached. But when he says stretch forth that hand, Which one do you want fixed? You better just fess up and say, hey, this is my problem right here. This is the one I'm reaching out because I don't want it to be this long anymore. I'd like it to be like the other one. Amen. But it's something, it's admitting the weakness. It's admitting the handicap. Amen. Hey, sometimes I feel like, a lot of times I feel like when it's time to go to the pulpit, God, whoo, I don't know if I got the words to say. So you guess what I'm doing? I'm asking God, God, you've got to help me. I'm admitting I don't have the mind. I feel like I don't know why my mind's a mess. God, you got to help me. Hey, it would be a shame if I walk up there. Well, bless God, I'm the pastor. And I just walk up here and it's a flop. I'm willing to admit my weakness. I need God's help all the time. And we all need it all the time. We all got things. We need an answer from God. Are you willing to get it by admitting it? Or do you have an image in the church you're trying to keep? Let's stand. Let's just stand. We don't have clocks here. That's kind of neat. Do you have one? Oh, you got a bunch of them back there, but it's hard to know which one's which, huh? We'll go by the one. Praise the Lord. We all got situations, needs. And I believe sometimes God is in our midst walking our aisles. He knows what you have need of. Did anybody not come tonight with no needs whatsoever? Anybody just perfect? You don't need nothing from God. You're just great. And you know, the thing is, God knows that tonight. And that's why he's here tonight. He was here when we were singing and worshiping. He was here in the prayer meeting. He's just dwelling amongst us because two or three are gathered together in his name. We got the Lord here in our midst. He's just saying, hey, who's got the need tonight? Who really wants me? It's kind of like Jesus walking there with his disciples. He's walking. He's God. He can do everything. And the same God that did that is the same God that's here tonight. It's the same God. He can do anything. He can do it anytime, anywhere. Even on a Thursday night in Nacogdoches with little old Ty Rainer preaching. Hey, he can do anything, anywhere, for anybody, young, old, middle, whatever the case may be. And we come to church, yet we get satisfied coming to church with status quo church. And I'll just tell you, I love status quo. I love church. I love just coming to church. I really love deep moves of God. I love being just with God's people. I've enjoyed everything tonight. I just like being at church. But guess what? I have needs that I need God to do. I got situations. I'm praying the Lord blesses us with the things, and God's been good. But oh, the situations we have. Oh, the messed up lives. You don't even need to try to figure it all out. You can't figure out the twisted things that go on, and the terrible tragedies that kids haven't been involved in, and families are involved in, and all of these things that, hey, only God can do. And here I'm, know that God can do it for them. And yet they got their little attitudes, they got their little images and all these things. And I want them to get a breakthrough. But yet me as the pastor, I'm willing to just go to church. Be like everybody else. And if they don't see a man of God that's willing to get desperate. I'm a nobody. I'm glad I'm a nobody. It's kind of good. It's just be me. I'm just glad I'm just me. But I have seen God do some incredible things. I mean, unbelievable things. In times, you wouldn't even believe that'd be the time to. It's just out of the blue. But somebody just gets desperate for God. I watched a young Hispanic lady just here a week or so ago in a park. We was having a service in the park, and thank God for some of that could speak Spanish. But I was watching, and I knew God was dealing with her. She went around, and so we wanted to pray for her, and had somebody that was able to interpret. Come to find out, she had blood clots in her legs, and me, God's a healer. I believe all that, but those things I'm not so worried about, because whether she's healed or not, she needs the Holy Ghost. And I said, tell her. I said, I'm going to pray. God's going to heal you of those blood clots. But you need the Holy Ghost. She never heard it. She didn't know.
Nothing.
We're going to pray God give you the Holy Ghost. And she's okay. Like, what are you talking about? We begin to pray. Oh, I begin to pray. And I said, tell her, just pray. Don't worry about it. Hey, God began to move. Out in a park under a thing. God began to move. And I mean, you talk, she began to do this. Hey, she had never been in a Pentecostal church, never saw one person worship God, never saw nothing. And she began to go, ah, and you know, I don't know if she was speaking in tongues or speaking Spanish, whatever she was speaking, I felt the Holy Ghost. And she's doing this. She starts doing this all over the park in that where we was at. And I mean the Holy Ghost was moving. Amen. But it was somebody that she had a desperate need. She might have thought it was just blood clots, but she had a whole lot more needs than that, brother. Amen. And God knows what you have need of. But will you get desperate enough? When was the last time you wailed in travail? Where the thing, your gut was hurting. You weren't even hardly saying words. You were just, oh, God. You're done. You almost feel like your insides have been turned inside out. The Bible does say that the Spirit maketh intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. But it's times when you just, you're at your end. God, I've got to have an answer. Let them ridicule. Let them know all that hypocrite, all that garbage. Let them think all that. Wives and husbands. We could meddle there a little while. You know what? How wives and husbands shouldn't be, but maybe can be sometimes with each other. And then you're going to go to the house of God and wife is over there, husband's over there. Looking at them or her or whatever, like the man that he was fighting with his wife, and get to church and he's just worshiping God. She looks at him, you big old hypocrite, you know you was just hollering at me. He said, I'm mad at you, not God. But that pressure there, because they know what you were at the house. They know how you acted at the house. And you come to church and you know, hey, you can act away and you know it ain't right, but you ain't, bless God, you ain't telling your wife you ain't right. Because you're the man or vice versa. And then you go to church and God begins to work. And you allow that, well, what's wife going to say? What's husband going to say? Hey, I don't care what they're going to say. You got an answer you need? Are you going to let what he thinks or your image, is it going to get in the way? What's it going to be? What are you trying to portray? Are you trying to portray you? Are we trying to portray him? When we can remove all of us out of the way and we can get rid of self and get rid of me and what I want people to view me as, and I want the people to think I'm a pretty good fella. I really do. You know, that's my desire, but I got to, I want God to think I'm a pretty good fella. More so than you. So what are you needing tonight? What are you needing tonight? I know it's Thursday night. You might have come tonight just because you know it's the right thing to do. I'm going to worship God, have a good time, fellowship, and go about my way and leave with the same old weight you've been carrying. But this young lady in our story tonight, when she got home, whoo, man, to think before you get home tonight, God could do something mighty. Well, praise God. I know it's quiet right now. You're waiting on me to pull a rabbit out of the hat. I'm just bringing the word of the Lord to you. Amen. We're going to give you a chance to pray here in just a minute. I hope I'm not being too long. It looks like it's still daylight outside, or maybe that's just the light. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. But what do you need from God tonight? Is it okay? You know, this is sometimes the biggest thing. And if we'd be honest, there wouldn't be one or two. But how many tonight really want God to do something tonight? Tonight. Not just, you know, because it's easy to say I want God to do something, but tonight. Because tonight, it means we got to do something. I mean, tonight, on Thursday, whatever today's the 19th. I mean, just it's just another day. But it don't have to be another day. It don't have to just be another Thursday night. We really can have a move of God. Say, you're setting this up terrible. I just want to know God sees. I wonder if you could just walk up here tonight. Just however you do it, I want you to step up here tonight. And brother, if it's okay, and we don't have to take a long time, if nobody does it, that's between you and God. But if you'd like me and Brother Crosswhite, we're going to lay hands on you. If you just, you really tonight, I know we could come and just have a little prayer, and I know you'd do it. I know you'd be obedient, and you'd find a little place to pray, and we'd have a little time of prayer, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But is anybody tired of something tonight? It may be a sick day. I don't know. I'm just feeling out. I'm just here, just being honored to be here tonight. But you need an answer from God. You would like to go home tonight. And when you get home, the miracle's been done. Anybody? Come on up, brother. Come on. Brother, we're going to lay hands on him. We can anoint him with all whatever. But I want everybody to believe this. Hey, you got an answer? God knows it. I don't have to know, but God knows about it. We're going to believe God to do it, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody ought to be praying. Amen. Let's just let God do it right now.